Right now, as promised, Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Biblical Worldview Ministry, based in Carmel, helping our young people understand their faith and be able to stand firm in it so they don't stray from it. Good morning, Nancy.
Yeah, good morning, Kelly.
How's the weather where you are? I got to know. Is it any better than it is here?
Well, we just had in Denver a first day of winter, and it didn't. There hasn't been any rain or snow for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's been up in the 60s, believe it or not.
Oh, nice.
But I know. But now it's getting cold. So, yeah, I guess this is what they call. I'll be back in Indy in a couple weeks. So
come back where it's warm when the snow starts in Denver.
Because
if it's not snowing and icy cold, there goes the economy. They rely on it out there. So,
I know.
Man.
I know. It's crazy.
Well, I am enthused to discuss this biblical worldview question today, Nancy, because I've had these conversations with so many people over the years about angels. What are they exactly? What do we really even know about them? Should we be worshiping them? And on and on and on. And that's what we're talking about. So let's get into it. Why angels?
Well, yes, and to be honest with you, this whole thing makes my brain hurt because it's incredibly fascinating. But then again, it's kind of that Deuteronomy 29:29 thing where these are the secret things of God, and he only lets us just peek into the curtain a little bit on this whole issue. But it's really fascinating to read about it, and especially in regards to Christmas and the celebration of the birth of Christ. Right away, we see the whole Christmas story that is revealed in Luke 1. Boom. It doesn't start with Jesus. It starts with an angel that appears to Zechariah. Remember the husband of Elizabeth, who is Mary's cousin. And this angel Gabriel informed him that his wife would give birth to John the Baptist, who would proclaim to many that the Messiah was coming. And it's so interesting to me that these created souls, these angels, do God's bidding for him, and they do so much more than that too. But in this case, we see an angel being used as most of the time as messengers of God, and they're not messengers of themselves. They don't make this stuff up and just fly around and appear. They are on a mission sent directly from God, and this is what is so important to remember about angels. But we see in Luke 1 here, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, this is Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angels said to them, like always, you know, we read this, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John, and he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. What a beautiful proclamation. And then we know that she gave birth later to John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. But then a few months later, Gabriel was chosen by God to make another visit. And this time it was to a young teenage girl by the name of Mary, a virgin pledged to be married to Joseph. And it says here in Luke 1, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her again, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus, and he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. You can imagine being a young girl listening to this.
Oh, man.
You know, it just, and how will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I'm a virgin. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I want to read that again. No word from God will ever fail. And then Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left. And it's just such a beautiful story where God sends the angels out to deliver a message. And if you noticed, and then the angel left, you will see this over and over and over and over again in Scripture. You know, when the angels, the heavenly angels, were speaking to the shepherds on the field the night that Jesus was born, said, hey, everybody, and they went to the shepherds, and the shepherds listened, and they went into Bethlehem to worship Jesus. And then Scripture just quietly says, and then the angels left. So they, I don't know, I'm so fascinated.
I know, that just really, if you were Mary, wait, you drop a bomb on me like that, and now you're just going to go?
Yeah, like,
come
hello.
In, I want to talk about it.
You know, can we just discuss this a little? Nope, goodbye.
I guess they did what they had to do and left, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Well, you know, Nancy, I know that you say, too, that, and it's true, I think we all have that mental image of what angels look like, but that doesn't really line up with what God's Word says. They don't all look like John Travolta with wings. That's not what an angel necessarily is, but what does the Bible tell us where angels are concerned?
Yes, well, I think too, you know, from Tinkerbell right on down, Disney has helped us get these images of angels in our head. And angels are holy beings. They're not human beings, but they are beings. And the Scriptures clearly tell us that God creates angels as souls. He creates angels as souls who are much more intelligent than we as human beings are. And they are given a will to obey or disobey God. Very, very interesting. They're created beings by God to do one thing, to obey and give God glory. And we can learn a whole lot about that. We are not angels, by the way. We don't turn into angels when we die. They are separate. And Hebrews 1:7 says, in speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. And Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So it's very, very interesting how God uses angels to go to those who are to inherit salvation. This idea of sending messages directly from God.
You know, and I'm so glad too, as you're talking about that, that you did point out that when we die, we do not turn into angels. We don't. That's not our place in eternity. The angels are the angels. We are the elect. We're the ones that Christ gave his life for. But I did want to say, because I know that I think the time that people really turn to saying that is when they've lost someone. Someone will come along and say, well, you know, they've gotten their wings. Well, that's probably not the time to hit them with that hard truth, but we do need to speak the truth. We don't become angels.
Yes, we really do. And again, you know, I hate to mess with people's ideas about angels, but, you know, they are of the male gender, although they are spirits, you know. So they're never referred to as female, which is really, for me, neither here nor there, but it just is.
Yeah.
And again, we have to go to the scriptures and understand clearly what angels are. And the answer is they are souls called by God to do amazing things. And we'll get into that in a minute. But again, we have to let ourselves let go of preconceived ideas of who angels are, because we want to stay pure and clear to what the scriptures
right.
say.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't let our minds go crazy with all this.
Well, why do you think we struggle so much with our understanding of angels, Nancy?
Well, honestly, it's because of the limitation of our human minds. They are so much, these angels are not little toys. You know, they are souls, and they are created souls, and they are much more intelligent than we are. And our understanding of the supernatural realm and all the splendor is incomplete, isn't even the right word. I mean, we just are so limited in our thinking to be able to think in the realm of the supernatural. And I just think here is where we say, God, thank God that you know what's going on out there, because this is kind of making my brain hurt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that angels are a different order of beings than humans. And contrary to many beliefs about angels, you know, we do not become angels when we die. And we will be in heaven, and someday God will give us new bodies, and we will live forever and ever. And as scripture says in Revelation, there will be a new heaven and earth someday, and we will live there with God forever. So will there be angels there? Sure. I'm sure. We know that because there are angels surrounding the throne of God. You know, it's just going to be absolutely spectacular. But we also know that there are good angels and there are wicked angels,
mm-hmm.
fallen angels. And we've talked about that, you know, before in some of these questions. But again, as angels, they are to be obedient, and they are always, whatever they do, is to give all the glory for God. But God gives them a will. And the fallen angels are those who are disobedient to God. And we saw that in the heavenlies when Lucifer, the highest angel, decided he wanted to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And God sent him to earth along with a third of the angels that were in heaven at that time. And today we call them demons. But the demons now are free on this earth to kill and destroy mm-hmm. our faith, and to lead us and deceive us. And that's why, you know, there are false apostles out there and there are cults and all these ugly things that no doubt we definitely need to stay away from. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says this: for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, their end will correspond to their deeds. So I think we have to be very, very, very careful here in understanding there are good angels, those that worship God, those are our send messages, among other things. And they're also fallen angels that are demons that goes into the occult, the New Age. And we mm-hmm. have to be very, very careful that we can decipher the difference between good and evil.
Oh my, you know, I've thought about that so much over the years, because if Satan had the audacity to, when Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted, if he had the audacity to try to twist scripture on Jesus of all people and include just enough truth to try to get Jesus to trip up and do what Satan was tempting him to do, then these fallen angels are they're no less inclined. They will do the same thing, and they can make something look so attractive and so close to the truth that if we are not educated in God's word and making sure that we're adhering to it, we can fall for it.
Totally. And if you read again that and again that place where Jesus was tempted, listen, it wasn't just a little tempt. It was huge, to the point where angels came to minister to God himself, Jesus, you know, and it was huge. It was huge. And for Jesus to go through torment of Satan, imagine what he can do to us, you know, in our fallen state with minutia minds, you know. It is terrifying. Stay away from that stuff. I can't even say it loud enough, mm-hmm. because this is serious stuff. Satan is nothing to be dealt with in a light way. He's out for business. He's out to kill and destroy our faith. Mm-hmm. And we, especially as parents and grandparents now, have to be speakers of the truth to the younger generation, because so many of them don't understand this. They get into these other areas that they shouldn't go,
yeah.
and are opening themselves up to demonic influences. But again, the good news is that there are many, many, many awesome, wonderful angels, and someday after we die, we'll be able to see them in some sort. But right now, we are called to understand that God is in control, and we are not angels, but there are plenty of angels that he has directed to help us in many ways.
We do not become angels ever. When we die, we do not become angels.
Yes, correct.
So what else does
it
say?
And we also don't worship angels, by the way.
No, we're not supposed to.
But anyway, okay, so here are some things that angels, some of their purposes. One's to serve the people that God saves. Really interesting here, that those people that are calling out for God, those people who are responding to the call of God to believe, he sends angels to minister to them. Very interesting. We already read Hebrews 1:14 on that. They are to deliver messages that come directly from God. And the word angel means messenger, by the way. And in the Bible, angels usually appear as men when they delivered messages from God to people. So again, God can manifest them in any way he wants. But again, they are souls. To wage spiritual battle is another way that God uses angels, is to fight the forces of spiritual darkness who try to kill God's plan. And that's in Ephesians 6:12. You know, we do not war against flesh and blood, you know, but against the principalities. And this is what that is referring to. Another purpose is for them to worship God. Mm-hmm. They, angels, constantly surround the throne of God, worshiping and shouting his praises. That's Isaiah 6, 3 and 5. Can you imagine what that would look like? Oh, my goodness.
I think about it. I can't. I know I can't imagine it accurately, but boy, do I ever think about it.
Yes, and Isaiah, you know, in that going to heaven, it's like, whoa, and he just fell to his knees. Woe is me. I think we'll probably all be like that. And when the righteous die, this is very interesting. I haven't done any more research than just look at this. But in Luke 16:22, when the righteous die, it seems that angels carry them straight to the place of God's rest. Interesting.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then in Revelation 7:1, to execute judgment, angels are not all radiance and joy. They also carry out God's orders of destruction. And you can read many places, actually, in Revelation 7:1. But we think of the wars. We think of the seven-day wars that the Jews have gone through, where not one person was lost. Where God just comes in and takes over, eliminating people, killing people that are in the way of His plan and causing hurt and destruction. So I think we can thank the Lord for angels, of which we are unaware. You know, there are so many angels. We hear about the guardian angels. Yes, we aren't assigned one. I don't know how many millions, billions of angels there are. But yes, there are many, and they do protect us, and they do guide us, and their influence on our lives to those that God sends to protect and inform those, again, of God's choosing. But I think here, Kelly, it's good to remember that as Christians, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, making us complete. God in us makes us complete. The angels are on the outside of us, and the angels are real souls that God uses, as we've seen in many ways. Our job is to continue to worship our Lord and not the messenger. It's like, don't kill the messenger. Well, in this case, it's don't worship the messenger. Yeah. You know, but we need to stay focused. But again, be aware that God is there to protect us, and oftentimes He will send messengers to us. And I don't want to go any further than that. It hurts my thinking. I can't imagine what that really looks like. But I think a good way to close, Kel, is to look at Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of their faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's our Lord. That's our God. The one to whom we need to love and to obey and to give what good we do to His glory, clearly. It's kind of like you were talking about with Dolly Parton. Let's just be deflectors of God's love and not get confused as to how important we think we are, because we're really not. We're human beings that are deeply loved by God, and I have received His grace to do amazing things through His Spirit. So I love looking into this, but I'm telling you, just to imagine heavenly hosts and what we will experience for those who have trusted Jesus, you know, when we die, get a glimpse, a very close glimpse as to what that is all about is just frightfully amazing and wonderful.
I know, and I agree. And as you've been talking, I was pulling up. I'm not going to read it. It's long. I'll let all of you listening go there yourselves. But in 1 Peter 1, concerning salvation and the sufferings of Christ, that section of Scripture goes on to talk about how even the angels long to look into these things. Yet we know what He has done, and He has done it for us. And I wonder sometimes, are the angels, as they watch us puzzled and have God-appointed interactions with us and down through the years of history, are they confused at all as to why? I wonder sometimes if they shake their angelic heads and wonder, why are you getting involved in these lives? They mess up so much. We know why.
I know. I just can't imagine. I wonder if they're going to be bruised and, you know, all these angels that have stepped in front of trucks. And also, there'll be kind of a motley crew of angels that have been, you know, stepping in on our behalf, clearly. Yeah. But it's just wonderful, though, to see a God that loves us so much. Not only does He live in us, but He has ministering spirits and angels to protect us and to guide us. Mm-hmm. And I think, as always, when we step back and see, I think in that when our lives are over, we step back from a different perspective and look at our lives, we will see how much of the time, even in the worst of days, how God has intervened for us.
Oh, wow.
And it's good to remember, and that's really my takeaway from mm-hmm. this, that we worship a God who is a personal God, who intervenes, who is with us to the death. Mm-hmm. And even at death, he is with us to carry our souls to heaven and to be with him forever.
Amen.
Someday in a body, in a new body. But it's just a beautiful thing to see a God who doesn't just create and abandon, but he is with us forever.
And he said he would never leave us or forsake us, and he is true to his word. Nancy, this has been so good, and I want to tell all of you listening this morning, if you'd like to get connected with Nancy's ministry, it's Anchors Away. You can find it online at anchorsaway.org, Biblical Worldview Ministry. And for years, Nancy has been helping our young people, talking high school, college age, learn more about their faith and how to stand firm in their faith, because research shows us too many of them walk away from it when they're challenged, when they hit college. And boy, when they hit college, they are going to be challenged. So take a look, anchorsaway.org. And if you don't have kids to get connected, get yourself connected, because all of this is great refresher material for those of us who think we've got it all down. But I keep going back to the basics, Nancy, because I keep messing up. So I appreciate you so much. Thanks for this today.
Well, thank you so much. And again, for adults listening, if you want to go through this material, get on our website and go through our boot camp. It's all on videos. And you too can refresh yourself in the basics. God called me to do it because I need these basics every day, apparently. So there you go.
Well, we all do. Anchorsaway.org. Get over there and check it out.